Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Another reminder, programming reminder, 10 o'clock this morning, our WMJ Classic Game of the Week. We go back to the 2015 softball season regional championship game between Rock Ridge and Sherrard. That's 10 o'clock this morning on WMJ and WMJ.com. All right. How do we say this? He's heard on most of these WRMJ stations, right? DeLaws Shonky, they fire up the blowtorch at 5:36 a.m. every morning. And on RFD Radio Network, you hear DeLaws Shonky and Rita Frazier. Good morning, DeLaws Shonky. Great to have you on the program.
You went from Ethan Happ to me?
Yep, Bruce Weber. Bruce Weber lost out on him, and he lost out on DeLaws Shonky, too, right?
How about that? How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. You know, when we do these conversations, I always like to back up. And when we get into, especially when I have a lot of media people on, I always like to talk about kind of how they got into the business. Do you remember the first time, like, you turned a microphone on in front of an audience?
May 21, 1991.
And where was that at?
That was the first time I was a summer intern at the public station on K-State's campus. It was called KKSU. They had a time-sharing agreement with WIBW in Topeka. They were on the air for 5 hours, and they always did agriculture. And that was the first time that I was in, like, I did a couple of things in high school, but that was the first time I actually said something where I was, you know, some sort of, I certainly wasn't an expert, but speaking as if I was supposed to be listened to.
So when you flipped the mic off the first time and walked out of the studio, did you say, man, DeLaws Shonky, he just hit a grand slam?
Well, it was, I gave the soil temperatures at the 4-inch depth in different parts of the state.
Okay.
So it was, you know, it was probably no more than a minute. But it was amazing, the nerves beforehand and the rush while you're doing it, and then when you're done, you're like, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. I think I could do that. And, you come back and do it another day.
Well, tell us about your upbringing. You grew up in the state of Kansas, a small town on a mm-hmm. farm, and I know involved a lot in a lot of different school activities growing up. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, family farm, beef and back then dairy cattle, and then crops. We sold wheat and cash crop and everything else, went to feed the livestock and cattle mostly, and baling hay and throwing hay bales and straw bales, and I was in the fall, I was the go-between with the I would drive the empty chuck wagon to the field and then bring the full chuck wagon back to the silo to be filled, and just go back and forth all day. And so a lot of good ag and farm memories. Graduated in the class of 29, which was great because, you know, you could do everything. And so high school football, basketball, track and field. We didn't have a baseball team back then. And then all the, you know, school plays and all that stuff. So it was a consolidated high school, mainly between two towns that were 6 miles apart. They consolidated when my dad was in school, our league was called the Blue Valley League, and we were the Riley County Falcons.
No kidding. All right, so you said even a consolidated district, and you had 29 in your class, so doing, you know, Mercer County math here, basically you're talking about 120 kids in the school. Did you play traditional 11-man football there then with only 120 kids in your school?
We did, and my freshman year there were only about 23, 24 kids on the team. It was a small roster. By the time I was a senior, there was probably 35 or 40 of us, but and even my senior year, somehow our class was small. We had a really big sophomore class. We had bigger numbers behind us, so we actually went 3A my senior year. The first 3 years we played 2A, There was a neighboring school that played eight man, and now you go back to that Blue Valley League, and our school would be the only one that's playing 11 man. Everybody else, there would be two that are playing 11 man. Everybody else is playing eight man.
So,
and even some of those schools have consolidated since then.
So we have an eight man football expert then here that lives in Illinois now, DeLaw Shonkey. I didn't know that. And everybody's saying what they want for Christmas next year is a Riley County Falcon sweatshirt, right?
There you go. Yeah, we were Columbia blue and white, and then after I left, they modeled it more off the North Carolina logos. Our football jersey was more like an Atlanta Falcon look. Our helmets were more like the Atlanta Falcon from way back in the day, from like the Steve Bartkowski Atlanta Falcon with helmets. But yeah, my junior year we played in the state championship game, and we had a really good program. We were always well prepared, and we had really good coaches, and the coaches that I had are still teaching there today. One was the principal now. My senior year, I got an O-line coach who was just a genius, and he was so good, and he's the principal now, and the football coach is still there, and he's been to the state title a couple of other times before there, never won the big one, but he's had several decades. He's gone to the state title game in the 80s, 90s, and definitely 2 years ago, so he's had a really good run.
Now, do you get out? Because I know you live in Leroy. Do you try to get out to get to some games in Illinois and watch interscholastic athletics at all in Illinois?
Yeah, I do sometimes in Leroy. My kids are in Indiana, so every other weekend is spent going back and forth. So that limits the amount that I can watch. But I certainly think of it now. Some of the features that you've done, and There are a lot of places where I would just like to go, especially for basketball. You know, I'd like to see some gyms and just see games in old gyms. You know, I remember you did a feature on the gym in Moline, you know, where the NBA team used to play. It's been up there since the 20s. You know, I would certainly like to see a lot more games in local venues like that, especially historic ones or old barns or something like that.
Yeah, because not only did Johnny Cash perform at Wharton Fieldhouse in Moline, but Jerry Lewis did too. I mean, there's some, and then the Harlem Globetrotters, and then Red Auerbach got to start coaching the, well, they're the Atlanta Hawks now, the Tri-City Blackhawks and the fledgling NBA. But back to radio for you, and specifically, I was, you know, with the RFD radio network, we're talking, you know, 80, 90, whatever number of affiliates, but they're mostly small market radio affiliates. So there's a distinct vibe with small market radio in compared to major market radio. Mm-hmm. What trips your trigger, you know, about this business and getting on the air every day and getting the opportunity you have? And I know the one thing that I like about the RFD radio network, and this is full disclosure here because I'm employed by the network too, and I work remotely in Aledo, but they did a campaign a couple years ago and I liked it. It was called Boots on the Ground, you know. And the big part of this job, and I know we do it here locally at WMJ, is you got to get out, man. You got to get out and see people. And I know the network, you and Rita Frazier do a great job of getting out, going to different events, going to different portions of the state, and meeting and speaking with people. I call it rural living. You know, you can call it agriculture, whatever you want, but it's rural America. So, I mean, a little bit about kind of that flavor and being ingrained in that. How important is that to you?
Oh yeah, that's the life force. And you know, so many affiliates. I mean, we're on in Peoria and Bloomington and Springfield, but we're on in towns just like yours. And even in that region, Savannah and Monmouth and Galesburg, that's a bigger city, but Kewaunee, for example, and you just go round and round. And I still remember when we would have a high school basketball game and one of the local stations was there, and you're like, wow, they came to it came to be here, and just the idea of having your name broadcast and having your name in the paper, you know, on the, in the box score and stuff like that, that was a big deal. And I try to keep that sort of thing in mind, that it, you know, that it's a special thing, and it's also, you know, you certainly want to be as grassroots as possible, and you know, you can sit in Bloomington and broadcast from Bloomington, and you know, that's one way to do it, but I always just wanted to be, I would much rather be, you know, with people. And I had a job at one point also where I wasn't in the office very much. I had a traveling job, and ever since then I never wanted to sit at a desk anyway. So I would rather be somewhere else talking to folks than being cooped in the studio. So yeah, I would much rather, and I don't know, I just, you know, you just learn so much more when you talk about agriculture. You know, you can learn so much. I learned from the people that I interview, but when you actually see things and see how they operate, then I feel like it's just easier to be able to share that message. So, yeah, it's hard to get all over. Especially with just a couple of us and with you, you know, that's one of the big challenges. I would certainly like to see more of the state more often. But I will be quite eager to be able to go here and there. I even have a list. I have a list of places that I've been, mostly food related, that I want to get back to. And I need to work on a list of new places, that I have not yet, enjoyed in the state.
Yeah, and that's the one thing, too, I like about you and Rita with, you know, saluting a hometown every day on the broadcast. Because I'm big into geography in the state because of, and I think it's important, and a lot of that gets back to, you know, covering interscholastic athletics when they name a town. I'm like, yeah, I've been there. The Golden Eagles played there a couple years ago or whatever, you know. So, or anybody I talk to from around the state of Illinois, that I ask them where they're from, and they tell me, and then I'm like, oh, home of the whatever, whatever, the Tremont Turks. Yeah. So
Tremont Turks, yeah.
So the
Tremont,
I mean,
Turkey Fest every second weekend of June.
See, and then I know you've been to Rhubarb Fest here in Aledo and interviewed Susie Boggess here when she was here for the 25th. Yeah, and she gave you, I know, after that concert, she gave you, what, 15, 20 minutes to sit down?
We did 12 minutes. She was back at the fire station. And if you remember, that was the 25th. If you remember, she sang a few songs. Then I don't think it was John. I feel like somebody came on and said, by the way, there's you know, storms coming our direction. And so some people left and some people didn't. But she played for an hour. And then she sat at a picnic table and signed autographs for an hour and a half. And then she gave me 12 minutes after that. It was 11 o'clock at night, and she still gave me an interview. And, you know, she's as wonderful as you would know her to be. And, that was fantastic. Well, what are they doing with Rhubarb Festival? Is it even on, or is it postponed?
It's been canceled. So that'll come back next June for the 30th year of the event. Then, of course, I know the Henry County Fair, they announced yesterday or 2 days ago that that's been canceled. I know Mercer County Fair going to wait till July 1. You know, it's interesting, too, dealing with this COVID-19 pandemic. It was weird. I was talking to Deanne Bloomberg, who former Rock Island County Farm Bureau manager, now works at with news and communication down at Illinois Farm Bureau in Bloomington. And I asked her, you know, when's the last time you were in the office? And she said, effective this week, she said it'll be 60 days.
Yeah.
Just a little bit about your, you know, in this business, being in this business, and you're working remotely from home now, and it's just been crazy, you know, maneuvering through this thing for the last 2 months, that's for sure.
Yeah, I went in at the end of the day on March 16, that was a Monday, just to grab stuff that I thought I might need. Unfortunately, I did not grab the two notebooks that had passwords on them. Those are still in the office. But I have not been in studio, or I've not done anything really in the office since the 13th of March, which was a Friday. So that's coming up on 2 months. We have done 8 weeks of work from home, and thank heavens that the internet connection has held enough to be able to do this. I have left my little town of Leroy four times in 8 weeks, and I mean, I've gone for walks and driven around the town and stuff, but I have not left city limits all but four times.
Holy smokes.
In 8 weeks, and that's a really, it's a really weird feeling. And but I have I do most of my interviews on Skype. I do some of them on Microsoft Teams, and the weekends to me are worse, because you know, it's just, I mean, there are, I should be out for a week, is what I should be doing. But the weekends of just of time, just like, wow, there's just, I need something, else to be able to do. And a lot of that would be watching a ball game. You know, I wish there was something to watch, but, you know, that's harder than getting through the actual work week.
All right, speaking with our great radio colleague, DeLoss Yonke, can be heard on WMJ every day on the RFD Radio Network, 5:36, with the great long-form program RFD Illinois. We'll take a break, come back with more with DeLoss on WMJ and WMJ.com.
Most people understand the need for life insurance, but not many want to talk about why it's essential to your financial plan. It may seem intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. Don't get overwhelmed. It started with Country Financial. Your Country Financial representative will work with you to find life insurance that gives you the protection you need at a price you can afford.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh, or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Viola, see me, Troy Mayhew.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Office Specialists understands keeping communities safe is a priority. Office Specialists is open during this unprecedented time as an essential business. They are key in logistics for public safety, municipalities, banks, food service, healthcare, and more. Purchase items by calling 309-342-7711 to arrange curbside pickup or delivery to the Aledo area. Or go to osi.biz to order online. Office Specialists frequently sanitizes surfaces within their facility, their warehouses, and their vehicles. Office Specialists in Galesburg thanks you for your support.
Buying new is out of the question. The next best option, a quality pre-owned vehicle at a sweet price. But where to start? Progress Park Auto Sales should be first on your list and will probably be the last too once you find yourself in a warranted vehicle from their lot that is just what you were looking for. Did I say warranted? I sure did. Most of their vehicles come with a comprehensive warranty. And if they don't have what you want, they'll find it for you. Open every weekday to serve you. Progress Park Auto Sales, Route 17, Aledo.
Hey, hey, that was a Ty Taylor spot on WMJ. Back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Again, our classic game of the week coming up at 10 o'clock. The Rackets and the Tigers from the 2015 softball season, the regional championship game. Talking with DeLoss Yonke from the RFD Radio Network, born and raised in the state of Kansas. Now, I do want to talk a little shop here with you. And the one compliment I really want to give you is with network programming, and I mean this sincerely, you know, everything is, you got to back time everything because it's a minute window, 2 minute window, whatever you do in the markets. And the first time I went down there and was trading on some of the stuff, I'm like, man, that dude, he makes it look so easy. And I've always thought, man, you make it look so easy with this back time stuff. And it took me a while to get accustomed to that. So I wanted to give you a compliment on that. And then the other thing, and I tell people, as you go along in this business, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can pick up from different people in doing it for 30 years. I'm not copying from them, but you learn from people that are in this business that do it the right way. And I mean this sincerely with Rita Frazier too, is the one thing that I think you and Rita are so great at, your interview style. You make the people you're interviewing so comfortable. And I think that is so important, because a lot of people especially in agriculture or rural living, a lot of times, I mean, when you talk about this, you know, the occupation of farming, a lot of times it's not necessarily you're introverted. It's a lot of the stuff you do is on your own, or you're alone and you're not talking with a lot of people. So, you know, getting in front of a microphone and then talking to a statewide audience, I dig it, man. That can be overwhelming. But I want to compliment you and Rita especially. I always think you guys do such a great job of getting the best out of the people you interview in rural America. And I think that's important. And I don't know if there's a technique you use, but I think you guys do a great job at conversing with people.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that. I remember one that I did in Casey. If you know, Casey is on I-70, and it's halfway between St. Louis and Indianapolis, and it's the place with the world's largest wind chime and the world's largest rocking chair and the world's largest mailbox and all that stuff. You heard about all that?
Oh, yeah. I remember you did I remember when you did the story on that.
Yeah. I interviewed a lady. The guy who, you know, spearheaded all that was out of town that day, but I interviewed the lady who was part of all the promotions and all that stuff, and we did 15 minutes, and when I was done, I said, wow, that didn't even feel like 15 minutes. And she said, oh, yeah, it did. And I just remember that, you know, for her, it was, you know, it was nervous time. For me, I was just talking about, you know, small-town ideas, which was a lot of fun, but she was on the spot, so she did not feel nearly as comfortable as I did. So I always try to keep something like that in mind you know, we certainly want people to feel comfortable about what it is that they are talking about, because that way the information they give will be better. And I think we're fortunate in what we do, because it's not like we're poking at the governor every day. I mean, what we're doing, we try to be conversational. It's not antagonist or anything like that. It's trying to tell a story. So we want to, you know, help people tell that story as best as possible. But I also try to think about my dad in that, and, you know, what would he really want to know? What kind of nugget would he want to get, you know, to make it worth his time to listen? So I try to have, I wouldn't be able to produce a crop to save my life, but I try to have the farmer's mindset in there when we're talking about things. So yeah, we just, it is fun though to be able, and I still remember when I started in Illinois, I started in Peoria, and I was doing this for a couple of months, and I was already at a point thinking, Tess, what am I going to talk about now? And I really haven't had that thought much since then. There's always something to talk about, whether that's property rights or small town issues or broadband or, you know, cattle and hogs or now COVID. Even with COVID, we've been doing this 8 weeks and we still have stuff to talk about with COVID. So it's nice to be able to, especially with Farm Bureau, you know, you have a statewide list of people you can talk to, which is also really helpful.
Well, and I think the other thing too, if you're in this business long enough, you know, when you're ready to talk to somebody or are going to do an interview, you know, the pre-conversation you have in setting up the interview, and that's where you really have a chance to hit the home run and find some common ground with somebody, and then they're like, oh, this guy knows about this, or Rita knows about this. This is cool. I can talk about that.
Well, that's part of that hometown salute too. You know, you do it enough times and you start to, you know, I can base things off. I've always tried to do that, and it certainly helps before you do an interview, but I've always tried to find a commonality with whoever I'm in the room with. And so that could be, a lot of times it's food based with me, or it's one of those nuggets of this town is known for that. If you're near Mattoon, then that means you're just east of the two-story outhouse.
I need to see that thing.
What's that?
I need to see that.
Oh my! Well, I would. If you're going to go see the two-story outhouse, I would have several other things lined up. I would not make a trip just to see the two-story outhouse, because you're like, I just drove 3 hours for this. But I've always wanted to find, oh, do you know this person? Do you know that guy? Or or have you been here or there, or you know, just knowing something about that area, like Olney is home of the white squirrels, you know, that sort of thing, or the black squirrels up in your region, you know, that you know, you try to disarm them, you're like, oh, this is just, you know, this is just another guy that I'm visiting with. We just happen to be holding a microphone. And I also wonder, I wonder if it's different because I do so many interviews now with my phone. I have an app on my phone. I can do the interviews and just email them back to the studio. I don't know if that helps or not, that you're not sticking a microphone in somebody's face, that you're just, you know, you're just holding a phone. I don't know if that helps or not, but I'd like to think that it does.
And then you and Reed have been together how long now?
5 years. 5 years and just about 2 months. I started March 23, 2015.
Well,
we've been friends for years. We've known each other for a long time.
But it seems like, I mean, really, if you listen to you two, you know, like you do every day here at WRMJ, you guys seem to be just the perfect combination, the perfect team, or the perfect pair. Is it that way behind the scenes? You guys get along that good behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there have been just a short number, and I couldn't even remember, you know, what they're based off of. I feel like I wouldn't say we see eye to eye on everything, but we're pretty well a united front. We get along on a lot of things. We are both defenders of radio, and we're both defenders of small town radio. You know, she worked in Litchfield for all those years, so she sees things from the station's perspective, and I've worked in different places, so I see things from a station's perspective, and not necessarily from the, you know, from the network or an ivory tower perspective. But you know, we both grew up, you know, small farms, and just trying to keep going. I think we have a lot of commonalities there, it's a very good friendship, and hopefully that conveys itself well on the air.
Well, and that's why when you said 5 years, it seems like you guys have been together longer than that, just because I think you're such perfect match for one another. Did you, you know, when you getting back to radio, is it something that from an early age that you said, hey, I want to do this, and you have sports, well, you have sports broadcasting in your background through all this too, right?
Yeah. So before I was able to help on the farm, we had a pretty good sized yard, and I and my sister, of course, wouldn't want to do anything with me, but I would just throw up the ball and hit it, and so I would make a game out of it, and then I would broadcast the game.
Okay, hold on. Stop here.
Yeah.
We're going to stop you right here. So we're going to put you on the spot. So take us back and give us a DeLawshonky play-by-play of doing that.
Well, I always batted third on my team, and it just so happened that the first two guys would get singles, so I would always come to the plate with two men on. And I had my field, I was facing west when I would hit it, and to my left, in left field, there was one of our garages was at the, so there was the yard, and then there was a gravel road, and then on the other side of the gravel road was the garage. So that's where the people were sitting to watch the game. And so I would point toward, you know, I would try to pull the ball, I'd throw it up, and I'd hit a fly ball, and I'd try to hit it on the roof of the garage. You know, so it would, I'd throw it up, and I, you know, it would just be trying to beat Denny Matthews at that point, saying, there's a long fly ball deep left field, and it is gone, a three-run homer for DeLawshonky. And then I would run around the bases, and after I got the home plate, then I would go and try to find the ball. And then I bring the ball back and do it all over again.
Okay, so the third base coach was not telling you to bunt with runners at first and second.
No.
Nobody had to move the runners
no.
over.
We weren't. You don't take the bat out of the number three hitter when he's hitting two home runs a game.
Okay, well, so because
his own makeup game.
Now knowing you like I do, is growing up in the state of Kansas, you're a big homer, right? A Kansas City Royal fan. You went to Kansas State, so you root for the Wildcats. And are you a Kansas City Chiefs fan too then, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, when I was a little kid, the Chiefs were never on because they weren't any good. The Steelers were always on Sundays at 12 o'clock. But when I was in college, that's when Marty Schottenheimer came, and Marty Ball and Derek Thomas and Christian Okoye and all those guys. So we were really Chiefs fans at that point. When we were little, we rooted for them, but we never got to see them. But when Marty came along and turned that thing around, that was, you know, everybody that was, you know, that was 90% Chiefs fans there. And even when the Royals won the World Series in 2015, it was still a Chiefs town. They had a great run for a few years, but it's ever since Marty, it's been a Chiefs town.
And I know a longtime Kansas City Royals fan, and so you're a bigger baseball fan, or what really, in terms of following sports, is a must for you?
Well, part of it is just what's in season, but I'm really missing baseball. I love it. I will say this, especially going to a game, and this could be a minor league game or this could be a big league game. To me, there's just nothing better than that first minute when you come through the concourse and you see the ballpark. I just love that. To me, it's just such a special place. I have that feeling much more than I do in a basketball arena or a football stadium. So there's something about baseball that, and the other thing about baseball for me, especially when I was old enough, if I was in a pickup, of course our pickups back then only had AM radios. And so it was either on 580 in Topeka or 1350 in Manhattan or 1420 in Junction City or whatever it was on, but it was listening to the Royals game. And Denny Matthews is from Bloomington. And he's still doing the games. He's been doing the games for more than 50 years. And so it was a guy named Fred White was the other guy. It was Denny and Fred. I mean, every night it was Denny and Fred. And so there's something about, you know, trying to, you know, we're out there working past sundown, getting the alfalfa bales off the field, and you just listen to the ball game. And when you get back with your dad, he's listening to the game because he's got a cab tractor. And, you know, you get updates, or if you're able to listen together, you just talk about what you've been listening to in the game and why in the world did they try to score him, you know, with one out and all that stuff. And so that was definitely such a part of childhood. And then part of that also, you know, with the repetition of that, I remember there was one time when I was working in Jefferson City, and I was in the car with another guy, and we were at a gas station. We were coming out of the gas station, and the game was in, the Royals were playing the Blue Jays, and Denny Matthews threw it to station ID, you know. And during the station ID, I said, Denny Matthews, along with Fred White, producer engineer Don Free, Guido in Toronto. And at the end of the ID, Denny Matthews came on, and he said, Denny Matthews, Fred White, producer-engineer Don Free, Skydome, Toronto. And the guy said, how did you know he was going to say that? And I said, well, I've heard him say that, you know.
It's my
three
life.
Three times a night for 162 games for 25 years. I think I've got it down by now. So, you know, that's just something I can still, in fact, whenever I get a chance to hear a game, I just hear him. It's just to hear Denny again. You know, it's like going back home again, or just being a kid again, getting to hear that voice. So, you know, there's still something special about that.
Well, and that's to me. See, this is the one thing that backing up. This is a perfect segue. Why, you know, small market radio. Mm-hmm. I still love the vibe of small market radio because. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about when we talk about high school sports, only way you get the opportunity from a broadcast standpoint basically is on the radio, right? Now, there's some mm-hmm. YouTube opportunities. You get to state then, of course, you're on for the state championship game. You know, and growing up in the 70s and 80s, you know, for me as a kid growing up, you got the basically the Saturday game of the week, right? And
mm-hmm.
you'd get to see your favorite team. Now, unless you had WGN or TBS, maybe you could see the Braves and the Cubs. But you know, there was that era where you could only see your teams play a couple times a year, and then you especially look at like college sports. You know, I can watch every Illinois game now, football,
right.
Every Illinois basketball game. Growing up, I couldn't do that. And basically every team you follow now, and you know, my son can relate to this. He can see his favorite teams play in any sport. You know, if he's an NBA fan, all 82 regular season NBA games. You know, he can watch all 162 MLB games if he so desires, every college football, every college basketball game. And I think you lose something by kind of taking that for granted. And see, that's why small market radio, I think radio, and this is just me, this is Jim Taylor speaking, radio plays bigger in the small markets because of stuff this, because this is the outlet for people to listen to the game or whatever, the news program or the interview, that in a major market, you just get to take that for granted and you get to see it on television or whatever, if you know what I mean. That's why I think small market radio still plays much bigger today than big market radio, is what I say.
Yeah, and I don't want this to sound bad, but I don't want to sound like I'm making too much of myself here, but what I do want to take is, especially from an ag perspective and doing this show every day in the morning, you know, people are very habitual in the morning, and so many who are listening to RFD Illinois are listening every day. It's part of their morning routine. So going back to that comfort of listening to Denny and Fred do baseball games, I hope there's some sort of comfort in doing RFD Illinois every day. You know, I want that just to be part of, I mean, Denny and Fred and Royals baseball, that was part of my life. And K-State, the guy that did K-State games for years was Mitch Holtis, who is the voice of the Chiefs and has been for more than 20 years. He took Kevin Harlan's job when Kevin became a full-time CBS guy. And you know, Saturdays, I still remember listening to Bill Snyder's first win, September 30, 1988, and listening to Mitch Holtis call that game, because he just had this enthusiasm like, holy cow, they may actually win a game. They hadn't won since 1986. They had lost or tied 30 games in a row. And, you know, so I feel like that sort of thing plays better in small towns, you know, cities, villages, than it would in a big city. So, you know, I certainly just want to be part of the fabric and a comfortable part of people's lives. So,
and you've done that works. Yeah, and you've done sports, right, through your career?
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Well, I always wanted to be a sports guy. You know, I always wanted Denny Smith's job. And then I wanted Mitch Holtis' job. I wanted to be voice of the Wildcats. I wanted to do all that stuff. And if they called today, I might just leave. But the one thing that I found was there was always a line. Even at the first job at KKSU, the news guy read sports. And I still remember when he mispronounced Frank Viola's name as a pitcher of the Twins, you know. And every day he would say, you know, the Mets travel to the Cardinals. Well, they've already been there two games in a row. They're not traveling there. It's Tuesday, you know. It's Wednesday. It's a three-game series. And I asked my media boss, I said, could I read sports? The guy says, no. No one's taking sports away from that guy. And so there was always a line to
but
sports.
He's pronouncing Frank Viola's name wrong.
I know. But he was doing the sports, and nobody was, by golly, taking that away from him. And so there was always a line to do sports, but there was never a line to do that. And then the funny thing was, so I'm a sophomore in college, and I get an internship at WIBW, which was the flagship of K-State and the Royals back then. And whoever was the sideline reporter for K-State football got a different job and went somewhere else. And so one of my bosses in the ag department says, you should go talk to Ed about being the sideline guy. And Ed was the producer engineer, and he was in that building. So I just walked up to him and said, hey, could I do sidelines? And the guy's, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, take $25 a game. And I was in Manhattan, so, you know, it was no problem for me to just, he would just come pick me up and we'd go to the games. And so here are all these radio TV majors watching the ag kid go down and help broadcast K-State football games. So that was a real big kick to be able to do that. So I did that for 4 years, and I called some games in Topeka and called some games in Jefferson City when I worked there, and I even did TV basketball. I did TV football and basketball for a cable network in Indiana for a few years. I got to do a couple of Greg Oden's games back
in the day. Oh, wow. I should have had you, yeah. I should have been doing some legwork and said, let's get some DeLawshonky play-by-play tapes out, and we'll play them this morning on this show.
There aren't very many left, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, and getting back to, you know, how, you know, growing up like we did, we didn't get the opportunity to see our teams play every day, you know, basically on television. So I know you have a son, you know, and if you would tell him, hey, you're going to listen to the Boilers on the radio, he'd be like, what? No, I'm watching him on the Big Ten Network, man. I ain't listening.
Oh, right. You know? Right. The other thing about that it's, here's what's weird, that's on all the time now, but as someone who coached his son for a few years, because even though those games are on, there are 500 other channels, and there's YouTube and all that stuff. So I remember in T-ball turning double plays. We would try to turn double plays in T-ball, okay? There was one time when I was a freshman, that was the last year I got to play baseball, and I was pitching that year, and someone hit a comebacker, and I started a double play. We turned a 1-6-3 double play, and it was cool. And my mom said after the game that the people in the bleachers were saying, how did he know to do that? I'm like, how could you not know to do that if you've been watching, you know, and listening to the ball games? But it amazed me, and pardon me, I don't know if this was suburbia or not, but coaching my son's teams, kids did not have those instincts at all.
Oh, you're right on that. We talk about that ad nauseum here with a lot of coaches about how much is out there to see, and yet you have to be so literal with kids when you coach them to say, well, you watch SportsCenter every night, and you watch the Big Ten Network every night, and I still have to tell you this between the man and the basket.
I still remember one league, and the kids weren't that old, but still, there'd be a play at second base, and I'd be in a dugout, and the kids would turn to me and ask if he was safe or out. And I said, keep watching. If he comes back to the dugout, he's out. If he stays on the base, he's safe. You know, just think for yourself for a second here. That was one that I will always remember. But just that, you know, having the instincts of, there was a kid, he was in right field, and I would have the right fielder play shallow to back up to throw it first, because, you know, these kids, you know, 8-year-old kids, they're going to be wild sometimes. And I would ask, he didn't know what I meant by backing up a throw. And if he got, if there was a case where the ball did come to him, I'd ask him to run it in. You know, I didn't want him to throw it back, because you don't want two wild throws in a row, because now kids are just running all over the place. And he didn't know what I meant by run it in. I thought, I just don't know how much more basic. And he says, you know how to run, right? And the ball is it, and that way is in. So run it in.
That's the literal thing.
So that was always amazing to me. Because that stuff, because, you know, I can remember in first grade holding the ball when I shouldn't have been holding the ball. And then after you do that once, you learn not to do it again. And so I was always amazed by that. And I would ask parents, I would send emails, you know, to parents. I'd say, please help your kids watch a little bit of the game just so they get some idea of what's going on. But, you know, that sort of thing. Even though that's on every day, I feel like some of that stuff is still missing.
All right. Speaking with DeLawshonky, RFD Radio Network, we have one more segment coming up on the WMJ Sportsline on this Saturday morning.
Most people understand the need for life insurance, but not many want to talk about why it's essential to your financial plan. It may seem intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started with Country Financial. Your Country Financial representative will work with you to find life insurance that gives you the protection you need at a price you can afford.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Alito, see me, Tracy Biggs.
John Waugh
or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Viola, see me, Troy Mayhew.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Office Specialists understands keeping communities safe is a priority. Office Specialists is open during this unprecedented time as an essential business. They are key in logistics for public safety, municipalities, banks, food service, healthcare, and more. Purchase items by calling 309-342-7711 to arrange curbside pickup or delivery to the Aledo area. Or go to osi.biz to order online. Office Specialist frequently sanitizes surfaces within their facility, their warehouses, and their vehicles. Office Specialist in Galesburg thanks you for your support. The human foot is complex with 26 bones, 33 joints, 20 of which are actively articulated, and there's more than 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments. That's why 6140 Run has Albert, the revolutionary 3D foot scanner. Albert helps customize your shoes specifically to meet your feet. Whether you run, walk, or on your feet for a long time, 6140 Run knows how feet come in all shapes and sizes, and with Albert, you'll get a customized, comfortable fit every time. 6140 Run carries Hoka, Brooks, Mizuno running and walking shoes, and Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. For a better fit for your feet, see 6140 Run on Main Street in downtown Galesburg.
6140 Run showroom is closed to walk-in traffic, but if you need shoes, call for an appointment.
Hi, Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sportsline on this Saturday morning, winding down our segment with RFD Radio's DeLaShonkey on this Saturday morning. Again, our classic game of the week coming up at 10 o'clock. This morning, you know, when you've been in this business long enough, since the early 1990s, you got into it, you knew you wanted to stay, and you've been in the business for a long time. When you reflect back, you know, you talked about the first experience of remembering when you flipped on the microphone for the first time and actually, you know, broadcasting to people. You know, if you look back, the first piece of work that you did where you really felt, man, I remember that. I think I did a good job on this piece, and the reaction I got from the people reinforced that I did do a good job. And that's where you kind of probably said, I'm hooked, and I know I'm in the right profession. Was there something you did early in your career where you said, that was good, the people told me I did it good, and I know I belong in this profession?
I remember there was one that I did that summer there was some economist conference at K-State, and I did an interview with a guy, and it was about a nationwide thing that they did, and it was actually Jim Minard, who we talk to now monthly about the Purdue Ag Economy Barometer. He was at K-State and he won this national contest, and I did the interview, and back then the interviews were on reel to reel, and the reel to reel was in a little box. And there was a post-it note on the box that said, like, good piece or something like that from my immediate boss. That was one of the first ones that I remember of, oh, wow, so he thinks that was a good job and good enough, you know, to mark something. That was certainly one of those moments. And then I got to, those 4 years I did K-State football, I also got to go out to Hayes in central Kansas and do reports from the 1A tournament. Which was just the greatest. That was so fun because it was all these 1A schools, all these small schools were coming to Hayes for a shot at the title. It was so great. And the boys and girls were the same week. So you'd have boys on Wednesday, girls on Thursday, boys, girls Friday and Saturday. It was awesome. And the first year I went out there, I called a buzzer beater. I got to do a buzzer beater that they replayed as the highlight of the first day of broadcasts. From around the state. All six tournaments were held on the same week in six different cities, and so the station I was with in Topeka went round and around the state and did high school basketball 4 days straight. And the fact that they used my buzzer beater the first time, that was really cool.
Well, and then conversely, too, what I like about this profession and the growth that you must have in it, because when you're a young kid getting out, and there's ego in this business, and if people say there's not. You know, you all think that, you know, especially early in your career, you do something and you think that, man, I'm good, and then you get the old tape out and listen back, and you're like, oh man, somebody burned that freaking thing, you know.
Right.
And I mean, you have the, I mean, like, reflecting back on your career, and I ask a lot of guys, like, that come on, or girls that have been coaching for a long time, that say, if you look back at how you did something earlier in your career, they're like, don't
no, I don't want to bring that up. And that's in broadcasting too. I think the people that are really good in this occupation, they know, you know, it's all about professional development and growth. And it takes you, it's not necessarily a point A to point B. It's point A trying to get to point B throughout your career. But I know there's probably like those cringeworthy moments when you think back, oh man, DeLoss, why did I really sign this way?
I remember two of them quite vividly, and they have grounded me for throughout my career. And you know, part of that also, I always got a kick out of the, you know, people would try to force their catchphrases and stuff. And those things, you know, those things always happen best when they just happen. You know, you can't, it's hard to plan for that kind of stuff. Some of the best things, like the Jack Buck, I don't believe what I just saw. That, he didn't have that written down. You know, that just happened and he said it, and people have been saying it for 32 years, ever since then. So, you know, a lot of that stuff just has to flow, but you have to be ready when that moment comes. You have to do preparation on that sort of thing, especially, and you would know this, when I would do these 1A games, you know, there are 12 people on the roster, but there are only 6 last names.
Yeah, right. That's a lot of that's still present today in a lot of these small towns where you have this great family heritage, like for the Van Hefties, for example, at Anawan. I think they've had like 30 of them over there that have played over the years that have been great players, and that's not a big town. So nobody, when the Riley County Falcons were playing, nobody said when you beat your cross-town rival or cross-county rival, do you believe in miracles?
I don't think that ever happened. I doubt that it got that that it reached that kind of height.
All right. Well, we're winding down here, and it's great to visit and get to know a little bit about DeLaw Shonky, who works with Rita Frazier down at the RFD Radio Network. And they'll be back at it Monday morning at 5:36 a.m. As we began our conversation, I always tell everybody you can hear them on most of these WRMJ radio stations. So, DeLoss, appreciate our professional relationship and our personal relationship as well. You're good for the business, and it's great to hear you on the airways every morning, that's for sure.
Well, part of the reason that we enjoy doing it is because you're up too early to do farm market. So, we can't appreciate more. Anytime we ask Jim Taylor for something, he always does it. You never hear a complaint. It's always quality. It's always good. It's always on time. I really like listening to your Friday things on RFD Town and Country Partners, especially with your stuff with the IHSA and even, you know, you had a local broadcaster from Savannah on recently on WCCI. I always appreciate that kind of stuff. And so it is a delight working with you, even though we're not in the same building. It is certainly great to have you part of our team.
All right. Stay safe driving around Leroy, Illinois today, all right? Get out and do something in the yard. Pull some weeds or do something. Or no, you know what? We talk about those old memories. Here's what DeLoss is going to do here in the next 15 minutes. He's going to go to his garage. He's going to look for that baseball bat, and he's going to get that ball out, and he's going to say, two on, nobody out. Who's the big bopper for the Royals now? Do they have anybody in the middle of their lineup?
Jorge Soler.
Oh, that's right. I went to the White Sox game last year, and he hit like a 450-foot homer.
Yeah.
So anyway.
First Royal to lead the league in home runs.
All right, so two on, nobody out, and we ain't bunting, right?
Yeah.
We ain't bunting. All right, good to hear from you, sir. Thanks for coming on this morning. Really appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Best to you and John and everybody else up there. Thanks so much.
All right, you're listening to WRMJ, WRMJ.com.